Amen. Aren't you thankful for heaven's child? Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 13 is where we'll be this morning. And a familiar portion of Scripture to many of us, if not all of us. And get this hooked on right away. Just snapped off on me. But as we head into 2018, we're finishing out 2017. This portion of Scripture has been working on my heart. And one of the issues that we find oftentimes that we are all dealing with is a heart issue. When you find yourself dealing with bitterness, it's because you have a heart issue. When you find yourself dealing with jealousy, it's because you have an heart issue. And so God's emphasis on the heart is what we're going to be looking at this morning. In a familiar portion of Scripture, look with me in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. We find a verse here. In verse 14, the Bible says, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Now we understand that that verse is speaking of David. David will be anointed as the next king in chapter 16. We understand that. On Wednesday evenings, if you've been able to join us, we started out in chapter 16 and saw where the Lord has just been using David in a mighty way all the way back in chapter 16. But God had a plan back in chapter 13, verse 14, when he makes this statement, "The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart." Now, as we think about this word, the heart, I found it interesting. Last week I shared with you a specific word. This week I'm going to share with you a specific word as well. That word is the heart. The word heart appears in the Bible, the King James Bible, 830 times. 830 times. Now, I shared this with you last week that I believe if a word is in the Bible one time, it's important. But can you imagine the importance and the emphasis placed on a word that is in the Bible 830 times? 830 times you find the word heart. I'm going to read some of these verses with you this morning. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Matthew 5:8, the Bible says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Hebrews 4:12, the Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Would you say the Bible places a strong emphasis on the heart? There's a strong emphasis on the heart this morning. And so as we look at what the Bible is talking about concerning the life of David, we find an example in David and how we see his heart was after God. Now, when you look at verse 14 of 1 Samuel chapter 13, that phrase there, "The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart." We're going to look at David's life this morning. Well, why would the Lord choose David to be the next king? But more importantly than that, what is he talking about concerning the heart? Now, when you study the life of David, you start out in chapter 16 and you see that David was a man of faith. David was a man that was just wanting to do the work of the Lord, wanting to do the will of God for his life. You find out as you get a little bit deeper in chapter 18 on, we're in chapter 29 on Wednesday evenings, and we found that David goes in those chapters from a man of faith to a man of fear. Back to a man of faith, back to a man of fear. But one thing that we all understand about the life of David and David himself is that he had a heart for God. He loved the Lord. He wanted to do the work of the Lord. He wanted to do what God had for his life. And so in the Word of God this morning, we see a strong emphasis on the heart. Proverbs 4:23, the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." I love Proverbs 4, chapter or verse 23. When you read that verse, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." What to guard? You're to guard the heart. You're to guard your heart. In many areas of your life, always be on guard for your heart. How to guard it? With all diligence. And why to guard it? For out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 3, verse 5, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Proverbs 21, verse 2, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." James 4, 8, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, we'll look at this again here a little bit later. "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And in Psalms 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, at the end, The Bible says, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. We find ourselves oftentimes saying phrases like, you know what, you don't know me, the Lord knows my heart, and that's the dangerous thing. He does know our hearts. He knows everything that's in our hearts. He knows the wickedness that's in our hearts. He knows the deceit that's in our heart. He knows the jealousy that's in our heart. He knows the bitterness that's in our heart. He knows the joy that's in our heart. But the thing that we understand about our God is that He knows everything that's on our hearts. And so this morning, may we humble ourselves before the Lord. May we claim Psalm 51:10, where the Bible says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. As you head out of 2017 and head into 2018, one thing we all ought to seek is that we have a pure heart for God. That we have a heart that would seek the things of God, that would seek all the ways of God, that we would find ourselves desiring more of God, and that we would get our heart clean, that we would get our heart right with God. We'll find an example once again in the life of David. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, before we pray, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Once again, that phrase there, the Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. Lord, we thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you for the service that we've already had. Lord, we thank you for the singing, the fellowship, the Sunday school hour, the nursery workers. Lord, we thank you for keeping us safe over this past week. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful weather. Lord, we thank you for our family and friends. And Lord, all the blessings that we have in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would guide us and direct us in this portion of Scripture. And as we look at other portions of Scripture this morning, I pray that you would help us to understand what you have for us. Lord, I pray that you would prepare our hearts. Lord, that you would help us to understand that, Lord, you desire us to live a holy and righteous life for you. Lord, I pray that you would look at our hearts this morning. Lord, that you would reveal anything that is holding us back from becoming the Christian you saved us to be. Lord, I pray that you would reveal some things in our lives that you would have for us. And Lord, very simply, that we would have a heart after you. Lord, I pray that you would be with myself as I preach. Lord, that you would empty me of self, empty me of sin. Lord, and fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would be honored and glorified in everything that's said and done. Lord, we'll praise you for it. In the Lord's name, amen. The Bible says once again in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, a familiar phrase, the Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. As we look at that verse, we're going to cross over to many things that we see in the life of David. Some things about David that we can try to take as an example and put into our lives. You see a couple of things about David that you look at his life and you say, what is different about David concerning his heart for God? Well, the very first thing that we see concerning David and his life and his heart is that David's passion for God. He had a passion for God. He had a passion. There are many people, I was studying this out, and I didn't really understand this until I studied out a little bit more, but there are many people who have a passion for something. There are many people who have a passion for something. There are many people who have a passion about something. And as I studied this out a little bit, there are many people who are passionate about sports, or about church, or about clothing, or about singing certain things. There are people that are passionate about those things. But then there are people that are passionate for those things. There are many people that are passionate for sports, for church, for clothing, for singing. You could go on, you can name thing after thing after thing. But as you study this out, to be passionate about something means that you simply enjoy it. You just enjoy it. To be passionate about it means you simply enjoy it. But to be passionate for something means you're investing in it. You see, and when you look at the life of David, this man was not just passionate about God and what God had for his life, but he was passionate for God. You see, David, when you looked at his life, you didn't just see that he was involved in these things, but he was invested in God. He was invested in the work of God. He was invested in what God had for his life. You look at his life and you see verse after verse after verse and how God was working in his life. You look and you see that his life was not a life of lip service. David's life was an example. David was constantly experiencing firsthand God's work in his life. If you were to study out some things and you were to find examples, you'd see him talking about God's majesty in Psalm 8, verse 1. You talk about his wonders in Psalm 9, 1. David begins talking about God's holiness in Psalm 15. He says the heavens declared God's glory in Psalm 19. He called God his shepherd in Psalm 23. He called God the creator in Psalm 24. He called God the sustainer in Psalm 25. And his light and salvation in Psalm 27. David speaks of being in debt to God in Psalm 29. Would you say God, or would you say David was invested in God? What God had for his life? You see, many of us have a passion to be the right kind of Christian. Many of us have a passion to do the things of God, but do you have a passion for the things of God? You see, it's different to be passionate about something. Listen, I could be passionate about doing the work of God, but when I'm passionate for the work of God, I'm investing a little bit more into it. I go that extra step, that extra mile. You see, there were times whenever I was in sports, I remember being playing on the basketball team in college. In my freshman and sophomore year, I was passionate for basketball. I loved playing basketball. I would invest time after time after time. But as time went on, and I started getting a little bit more serious about things that were a little bit more important to me in my life, that importance and that passion for basketball just became a passionate about basketball. I no longer put the time that I had once put in. And I took that effort and that time and that passion for something that was such as basketball and started putting it towards the things of God, what really matters. And if you're not careful, sometimes we say we're passionate about something that God has in our lives. We're passionate about being the right kind of Christian. We're passionate about being the godly parents. We're passionate about coming to church. But are you passionate for being a godly parent? Are you passionate for being the right kind of Christian? Are you passionate for being an example and a testimony, a light into your community? Are you passionate for being a light into your family? Are you passionate for the things of God? When you look at the life of David, he was not just passionate about the things of God, but he was passionate for them. And you see that because he was saying such things as God's glory in Psalm 19. He called God his shepherd in Psalm 23. He meant what he was saying because it was personal to him. And you see, when you get into this book right here, and you find yourself surrendering to all that God has for you, He'll take that passion that you have about serving Him, and He'll turn it into a passion for serving Him. And no longer do you look at it and you say, hey, I'm serving the Lord, but you get to say, I get to serve the Lord. And no longer do you look at it and say, hey, I'd like to do that, but you get to look at it and you say, I'm doing that because He's allowing me to do that. And it becomes a passion for Him. You see, when you find yourself having a passion for God, you start investing time that you never once thought you'd invest. You see, when you start investing that time, you see God working miracle after miracle. But the thing is that He wasn't holding back the miracles, you just weren't investing enough time so that He could show you those miracles. It's that you weren't investing enough time so that He could show you what He was capable of doing. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, the Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. Well, the man after God's own heart has a passion for God. This morning, do you have a passion for God? This morning, do you have a passion for the things of God? This morning, do you have a passion for doing all that God would have for you in His life? Look with me at a couple portions of Scripture here. Psalm 122, verse 1, the Bible says this. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let me ask you this. If you think you have a passion for God or a passion about God, listen, when you find yourself having a passion for God and all that God has for you, you don't treat God's house like it's jail sometimes. See, sometimes when you have passion for something, you look at it and you say, ooh, I can't wait to get there. But see, when you have a passion about going to church, sometimes waking up and going to church, we treat it as though it's a jail. We treat it as though we have to go and we have to sit under the preaching. We have to go and we have to sing the same old hymns. We have to go and we have to sit in the Sunday school. We have to go. You get what I'm saying? You see, you don't look at going to church as you have to go. You look at church and worshiping the Lord as you get to go. You wake up on Sunday mornings and on Wednesdays and you say, hey, it's church day. You don't look at it and say, we gotta go to church. Let me share this with you. In Psalm 122, verse 1, I'm gonna read this one more time with you. He says this. This is David speaking here. If you turn over to Psalm 122, I don't know if yours says this, but at the very top of each one of my, of the Psalms in my Bible, this one says, a song of degrees of David. In verse 1, it says one more time, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Could you imagine waking up and someone saying to you, hey, let's go to the house of God this morning. Let's go to church. Let's go worship the Lord. And you being glad about it? When was the last time you woke up on Sunday morning and maybe it was a child or maybe it was your spouse and they said, hey, let's get ready for church. And you got so excited that you couldn't contain yourself. David here in this portion of Scripture makes a statement, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 23, verse 6, the Bible says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. We should not treat the house of God, number one, like it's a jail, like we have to go to the house of God, like we have to go worship the Lord. You should be thrilled. You should be excited. You should have a heart for the things of God and for the house of God and what all God has for you on a Sunday morning service or on a Sunday evening service or on a Wednesday evening service. You should have a heart for those things. But also, you should have a heart for the things that when you have the opportunity to go to church, it's not treated as though it's an option. You see, we find ourselves getting in trouble when we treat the house of God as though it's an option. As though, you know what? It's not a big deal for us. You know what? When if your kids come up to you and you say, hey, are we going to church? Then something's not wrong. It should not be one of those things where someone says, hey, are we going to church today? No. It's guaranteed. When Saturday comes around, the next day is church day. It should be a guarantee. And when you look at this portion of Scripture, Psalm 23, verse 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hebrews 10:25 says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. When was the last time you woke up and you were just so thrilled that you had the opportunity to go to church? You woke up and you said, hey, the Lord's going to speak to me today. The Lord's going to do something in my heart today. Listen, it's Sunday, October 10th, or December 10th. The Lord's going to do something in my heart today. Psalm 27, verse 4, the Bible says this, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. These are some of the things that we look and we say, what made David so much different? David had a passion for God. David had a passion for God's house. David had a passion for the things of God, for the ways of God, for living for God. You see David saying and making these statements. You see God working in his life like none other. I read this quote the other day, and it struck me. Our passion for God ought to be like that of a best friend or spouse, whom you can just carry on conversation for hours and enjoy the person's company and you don't ever get enough. When you think about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you think about all that He has for you and all that He's done for you, do you desire more and more time? When you read the Bible and you have something to do and you've been reading the Bible for maybe 20, 30 minutes and you just have to get something done, do you get so upset because you have to leave the Word of God and leave that time that you're spending with the Lord? Or is it one of those things where it's just a checklist? You're just checking your time with God that day off. Listen, we're talking about preparing our hearts as we end 2017 and we head in 2018. We could talk about the things that we want to do in 2018 and all of the New Year's resolutions. Well, one New Year's resolution we all ought to have is to have a heart for God. To have a passion for the things of God and what He has for us. When you look at David's life and you see some of these areas of his life, if you go back to 1 Samuel, we're going to find ourselves in chapter 16 and 17 here in just a moment. But something we see about David and how he's worshiping the Lord and how he's having a passion for the things of God and for God's ways is that David's passion for God did not come just because of how God performed in his life. You see, David, if you were to study out his life, David was praising the Lord and serving the Lord and had a passion for God because he knew who God was. You see, who is God to you? We ask that question sometimes and you've heard messages preached. But is the Lord real to you? Is what He does in your life real to you? Is how He works in your life real to you? Or is it just something that you just fly by and you miss it? You see His miracles, but you don't acknowledge them. You see His work in your life, but you don't acknowledge it. You see how He's performing all the time, but you don't acknowledge it. David, if you were to study his life out, he had a heart for God. The Bible says the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. But David's passion for God was not because of how God performed. It was because of who God was. You see, if you were to look at your life and reevaluate yourself right now, do you worship the Lord and serve the Lord and love the Lord because of who He is or because of what He does for you? You see, who He is should be enough. What He did on that cross should be enough. But sometimes we get into the mindset of we need more from the Lord. Well, listen, you don't need any more from the Lord. You just need the Lord. I mean, the Lord alone can satisfy all you need. And so we see first David's passion for God. If we go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll find ourselves there in just a moment. David's praise to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, just a couple of chapters after chapter 13 has just taken place, In chapter 16, I'll read a couple of things. We understand that the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 16, at the end, I have provided me a king among his sons. God was working long before chapter 16 took place, because in chapter 13, he said he was seeking for a man after his own heart. Chapter 16 says, at the end of verse 1, I have provided me a king among his sons. In chapter 12, it says, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now you fast forward to chapter 17, and you look at some things, and you say, well, how do you know David praised the Lord? How do you know David had that praise given to the Lord? Listen, David is a man, as you study, that had no room for I. He had no room for self. If you were to study out the first couple of chapters of the life of David, you'll see that he keeps saying, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. If you look with me in chapter 17, in verse 45, the Bible says this. In verse 45, at the end, or let's just read verse 45 here. The Bible says, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thee thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, to that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Continue reading in chapter 17, verse 47. The Bible says at the end, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Look with me in verse 48. The Bible says at the end, David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And in verse 50, the Bible says this, so David prevailed. But all the long, David was never once saying, I. He was saying, the Lord. Notice with me in verse 37 of chapter 17. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. Do you notice what took place here is very simply, the Lord was working in David's life in such a way that when he was questioned about his past, he said it's all because of the Lord. You see, when you find yourself having a heart that is after the things of God and for God and all that he has for you, you find yourself no longer saying, look what I did, but look what God's doing. Or look what God has done. Or look what God's capable of doing. You no longer have time for I. And one thing that I have shared many times is that we all need this, myself including, is less of self and more of the Savior. And that's a daily struggle. That's a daily battle. When you look at your life and you wake up sometimes and you say, well, look what I did yesterday. Well, listen, without the Lord giving you that strength, you weren't able to do anything. And so, once again, look what he did. And so, when we understand, just as Brother Tom Green shared with us a couple weeks back, that everything begins with God, we get that understanding. And so David, understanding that the Lord gave him the strength, he says in verse 37, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. He had confidence in God. He had utter confidence in what God was able to do. We ought to get into a habit of praise. I don't like to use the word habit, but you know what I mean. Daily praising him for everything he's given. Listen, praise him for your family daily. Praise him for all that he's given you as far as your health daily. Praise him for the opportunity you have to serve him. Praise him for the job that you have. Praise him for the car that you have. Praise him for the dogs you have. Praise him for the cats you have. Praise him for the shoes you're able to walk. Praise him for everything. Listen, the food that you eat, the air that you breathe, praise him for everything. Get into a habit of praising the Lord. I'm going to look these, I had my hymn book with me and I forgot it in my office. I'm going to look at a couple of hymns with you this morning. Hopefully they're in this hymn book. But as I was thinking of praising the Lord and what the Lord has done in my life and looking at certain hymns that have affected me and been a blessing to me, a couple of hymns came to my mind that I'm going to try to share with you this morning. And so in one of these songs is titled Glory to His Name. It says, it goes like this. As you're thinking out praising the Lord, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, glory to his name. The next verse goes, I am so wondrously saved from sin, that should be enough to praise him right there. I am so wonderfully saved from sin, Jesus so sweetly abides within, there at the cross where he took me in, glory to his name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. Then Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain, so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. The chorus goes on, continuing saying glory to His name. But this morning, when was the last time you just stood back and you said, you know what, I'm going to reflect on my salvation for just a moment. I'm going to reflect on all the blessings I have for just a moment and just praise the Lord for it. When was the last time you found yourself alone and you just found yourself praising Him for all that He's done, all that He's capable of doing? There have been many times where Miss Kelly and I have been sitting in the vehicle. I'll share this again as I turn to the next song. There was a time a couple weeks ago we had our leadership banquet. It was a long day. We were up here. We had a great leadership banquet. We had a wonderful time of just talking about 2018. Well, on our way home, we ran out of gas. Miss Kelly was upset with me. First time we had ever run out of gas, she had been telling me for weeks, you need to stop doing that because one day we're going to run out of gas. I said, listen, fine, I've got it. Well, as I was going up that hill, I didn't have it. We stopped. I had to call. Good thing that I had my brother-in-law in town. I called him, said, hey, grab a gas tank from downstairs, coming. And bring me some gas. But I shared the next day something that I realized while we were sitting there in the awkward silence. She wouldn't talk to me. I would look over to her and I said, what is wrong? Is that in that 25-minute time frame of just sitting there, the Lord started working on my heart and saying, listen, you have a lot to praise me for. Yeah, you're sitting out right there, you're out of gas, but hey, what about the meeting you just had? Did you praise me for it? Hey, what about the family I've given you? Did you praise me for it? Hey, what about that kid that you have at the house? Have you praised me for it? Well, what about that church that is a blessing to you all the time? Have you praised them? Or have you praised me for them? And just blessing after blessing kept popping up in my mind. Hymn 164, praise Him, praise Him. The song goes like this. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms, He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Hey, do you think we need to praise the Lord a little bit this morning? I mean, we could go around and share a couple of testimonies this morning and just spend some time praising Him. Praising Him for the smallest of things and praising Him for the greatest. Because He's great in every single one of them. And He deserves our praise. To God be the glory is another song that we could find ourselves singing. I love singing that song, To God be the glory. And listen, I'd sing it closing out every single service if I could. Because listen, every service ought to be a service where God gets the glory. Every day of our lives ought to be a day where God gets the glory. Not only do we see in David's life that David was a man after God's own heart, that he was a man that had a passion for God. He was also a man that was praising God. But to finish out this morning, David's personal relationship with God. When you look at his heart, David was a man who sought the things of God and had a passion for the things of God because of his personal relationship with God. Listen, how is your personal relationship with God this morning? You see, we don't like to talk about the heart sometimes because it reveals things when God is getting a hold of our heart. He starts revealing things that are out of place. And we say, Lord, just leave my heart alone for just a little while. Because we don't like to change. Many of us don't like change, but change is necessary. Because when God starts changing things in your life and pointing you in a direction that is better for you, He's drawing you closer to Himself. And that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is one thing we all ought to long to desire. David's personal relationship with the Lord. Look with me in 1 Samuel chapter 16. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, the Bible says this. You say, how do you know that David had a great personal relationship with the Lord? Well, look with me in chapter 16, verse 1. The Bible says at the end. Well, let's read the entire one. In verse 1, chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, saying, I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Let me ask this question. Would God provide a king who didn't have a heart for God? I don't think so. Would God provide a king who had a once-in-a-while relationship with God? I don't believe so. I believe that with all my heart that David had a heart for God, but his daily relationship with the Lord was something that God desired for his next king to have. Not only do we see that, but in 1 Samuel chapter 17, he asked this question in verse 29. David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" He got so worked up that no one was doing something about this Philistine who was mocking their God. And his relationship with the Lord was one that he was not going to allow it. And so when he heard that this Philistine was mocking his God, he said, "Ain't going to happen when I'm around. That's not going to happen. I'll take care of this." Because God had gotten a hold of his heart and his life and his personal relationship, and it started spilling out in his public relationship. You see, when you have the right kind of relationship with the Lord, you understand that God is going to take care of you, number one. But you understand that God has something for you to be an example, to a light to others. Look with me in chapter 18 of 1 Samuel. I love talking about these couple of verses here. Look with me in verse 12. The Bible says this in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 12. You say, how do you know David had a relationship with God? Well, the Bible says, "And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul." Verse 14, the Bible says this, "And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." In verse 28, the Bible says, "And Saul knew that the Lord was with David." When you have the right kind of relationship with the Lord, others are able to see that. You see, when you have the right kind of relationship with others, or with the Lord, others are able to say, "Hey, the Lord's got his hand on that person." There are many preachers that we can talk about who we look at and we say, "Hey, that preacher can just, he has the hand of God in his life. His sermons just get a hold of everyone's hearts." And God's using certain preachers. We can go on and talk about them. And it's because their personal relationship is what it needs to be with the Lord. You see, something that we have to be careful about is oftentimes, if we're not careful, we look at others' lives and we say, "This person should be doing that. And this person shouldn't be doing that. And hey, this person shouldn't, they should probably be here instead of there." And we start judging people, and our relationship with the Lord that we should be focusing on starts to go away because we're focusing on someone else's relationship with the Lord. And all the while we're judging someone else's life because they should be doing something, someone's looking at our life and saying, "Hey, you probably should be focused on your relationship because you haven't been doing something yourself." And so my statement that I'm trying to make this morning, very simply concerning that, is don't get yourself focused on someone else's personal relationship and forget about your own. You see, David, once again, had no time for others concerning as far as what they were doing and if they weren't doing something, because he was so focused on what God had for him. And he was doing the will of God for his life. David was a man after God's own heart because of his passion for God. Because he was a man who praised God and also his personal relationship with God. But I want to finish out with this. If you will, turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. This is something that helped me a long time ago. Someone shared it. And I want to share it with you as we close out. Concerning your heart as you close out the year 2017 and you head into 2018, as we desire to have a heart for the things of God, and for the Lord himself, Ezekiel 36, the Bible says in verse 26, "And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." The first thing we have to understand concerning our heart and what God wants to do with our heart as we head into 2018 is God wants to exchange our heart. That heart of bitterness that you have, that heart of that stony heart that you have, that heart of anger, that heart of deceit, that heart of jealousy, that heart of whatever, God wants to exchange it for a heart after his own will. For a heart that he has for you to do something. For a heart that he has for the will of God and for the things of God and for the ways of God. He wants to exchange that heart. In verse 27, as you continue reading, the Bible says, "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." God not only wants to exchange your heart, but he wants to empower your heart. Listen, God has something special for every single one of our lives. When we walk around and we say, "Listen, God can't use," listen, you're wrong. God can use you. And he desires to use you. But are you willing to get your heart right so that he can use you? Not only does he want to empower your heart, but in verse 28, he goes on, the Bible says, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave you, or gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. God wants to establish our hearts and also enrich our hearts. When you think about your heart, you think about my heart, you think about our hearts, do we have a passion for God? Do we have the proper praise being given to God? When was the last time we just sat down and we said, you know what, I just want to praise you for a little while? See, we get offended sometimes. And if we're not careful, that offending that takes place will not point us in the direction of God because pride is in the way. Listen, get that pride behind you. Every single one of us probably battles it at some point, but we need to get that pride behind us because that pride is holding us back for what God has for us. Listen, get your heart right. Get our hearts right. I need to do the same thing. David's passion for God, David's praise to God, and David's personal relationship. Three questions. Do you have a passion for God? Not about for God. You see, it's different. Having a passion about God, you enjoy the things of God every once in a while, you enjoy coming to church every once in a while, but every once in a while, you're just in a bad mood, and so you treat it as though you're going to jail. You treat it as though you have to endure something. But when you're passionate for God and things of God and the house of God, you don't sit there and you say, I have to endure, but you get there and you say, I get to do this. I get to be a part of this. I get to see what God's going to do. I get to see how He's going to work. What about praising Him? When was the last time you just sat there and praised Him for everything? Listen, if you started praising Him for one thing and you said, I'm going to praise the Lord until I can't praise Him anymore, you'd be somewhere for a long time. I mean, blessing after blessing, you'd just be praising Him. And then how's your personal relationship? God desires a personal relationship with you. When you look at the life of David, you look at all that the Lord was doing in his life, one thing is very sure. David had a passion for God. He had a time of praise to the Lord often. His personal relationship was one that God would honor. And so when you think about your life, you think about your walk, you think about your heart. How's your heart? How's my heart? Are there some things we need to get settled? Are there some things we need to get right? Are there some things that we need to establish in our lives so that we can see ourselves becoming the Christian Christ saved us to be? As you head into 2017, or head out of 2017 and into 2018, there's a strong emphasis on the heart. And a heart after the things of God and for the things of God. For God Himself. One that praises Him. When you think about all that He's done, He deserves all the praise and everything that we can give Him. He deserves not just a little bit of our lives, but all of our lives. And so this morning I encourage you as much as I encourage myself, get your heart right. If your heart is not right in one little area, even if your heart is right 78%, 98%, get that 2% set. Get that 22% set. Get that 44% of your heart set. Get some things right so that you head in 2018 desiring all that God has.